You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Well, yes, Simo, yesterday on the show we touched on Mountain Dew. They've brought out a full life-sized cushion of a Mountain Dew bottle that you can buy and put in your bed and cuddle up to.
I informed you how to say Mountain Dew correctly.
Did you?
Mountain Dew.
I don't think that's correct.
That's how, yep, absolutely. If you're, it's like the broski, like before a barbecue, it's kind of, it's almost like a cult thing.
Yeah.
It's like Mountain Dew, next to the snags.
Look, we'll agree to disagree on that form. But Simo, yesterday on the show, we were talking about it.
Mm.
And like I had a bit of an epiphany, a bit of a revelation.
Yes.
We've got the audio of the moment of where I had this revelation. Let's flash back to yesterday's show. What does Mountain Dew actually taste like? Is it just lemonade? It
tastes like a rainbow. Tastes like...
No, I think that's Skittles.
Yes.
So we didn't know what Mountain Dew... I am convinced that unless you're like a Mountain Dew enthusiast, off the top of your head, you don't know what it tastes like.
That's fair.
So give us a call, 645-72-977.
Yep.
If you reckon... Well, if you know what Mountain Dew tastes like, give us a call.
For sure.
But Simo... I'm convinced we won't get any calls because no one knows what Mountain Dew tastes like.
Okay.
So I have taken it upon myself.
Right.
To go out at my own expense.
Yes.
And purchase the 1.25 litre bottle of Mountain Dew, which I'm holding now in the studio.
You've talked about it now, so get that audio. That's tax deductible.
That is a good point, actually.
Did you keep your receipt?
Yes, I think I did, actually.
Nice.
It was actually quite hard to find Mountain Dew. It's like it's tricky.
What do you mean?
I was looking for the smaller bottle, and then
no, they do cans.
I know. There was like the big 2 liter bottle. This and like a case of 24 cans.
Yeah, because that's the only way to do a Mountain Dew.
Well, see. Do you want to? Because okay, I've got the bottle here. It looks like, and by the way, we should say this isn't sponsored by Mountain Dew. And
that's right.
Yeah. And I will prove that by saying this doesn't look like something you'd want to drink.
Yeah.
Just from the bottle, it's like fluorescent green.
Hmm.
It just doesn't look.
Do the Dew.
It says Mountain Dew Energized as well, which I don't know. Anyway, Simo, are you up for? I've got two mugs here. Should we give?
No, it's tasty. I love it.
Should we do the taste test of Mountain Dew?
Yeah, I feel like I'm on MasterChef.
All right, hang on. Let's open. Yep. Oh, there you go.
Yep.
It was a sealed Mountain Dew.
Fantastic.
God, the bottle's like green. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Careful with that rocket fuel.
I'll pour some into a mug for you. Oh, that colour. I didn't realise it was that colour.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm pouring it into a mug, and the colour can only be described as urine.
I'm yet to understand what, like, are you not normally a consumer? Is this a first time for you?
No, yeah, so, okay. Like, I like to feel I'm like anyone. Mm. I don't normally consume Mountain Dew. But, you know, we were talking about it yesterday, and I thought there would be...
Okay.
Because I'm like, is it lemonade? Is it something more Coca-Cola? No, I don't actually know. Hang on, should I read the ingredients?
Anyway, pass one over. It's thirsty work, this.
Not recommended for children or pregnant women. What's in this stuff?
Lots and lots of goodness.
All right, here we go, Simo.
No point spoiling it on the women and the children.
One of the mugs. All right, you've got that there.
Yeah, cheers.
All right, should we both...
Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah.
We both have a drink at the same time.
Right,
and then we can hang and wait before you drink.
Yep.
Which MasterChef judge do you want to be?
Manu.
Is he on MasterChef? I don't know.
No, he's not.
Just so you can do your French accent.
Oui.
All right, I'll be George. That way I don't have to pay you.
I'll be Manu.
Okay.
All right. The dong.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's fantastic. Magnificent.
I'm going back in for seconds. Hang on.
Ah. Such a refreshing beverage.
Yeah. Look, it's a weird taste, isn't it?
Oh, it's so good.
Is it? Do you want...
Oh, I advocate it.
Simo and Jordan.
Do you like a complicated menu or do you like it people to keep it simple?
Simple? Why? Just tell me the food and a short description of it. That would be nice. I don't want to have to do like maths to work out what the food is.
Okay. Right. Well, that's fair enough. You don't want to have
Thank you.
I mean, you don't want to have to do maths until the bill comes out.
Yeah, and then you're oh, are we just splitting it evenly five ways or should we just pay for individual? Then it's, yeah, it's just
that's
chaos.
One thing about going to dinner is that the maths is inevitable, Jordan.
But well, that's at the end. It's like, you know, you're eating an apple, eventually it'll be a core. The core is the bad thing.
Yeah, but...
But it's going to happen. You drink a lot of alcohol, at the end you'll be hungover.
Yeah, but...
But the end is the bad thing, but the first and the middle bit are brilliant.
Well, if a pizza's involved, maths does get an early run.
That is a good point.
Yeah, fractions are often involved.
Well, maths could get a run or just how fast can you eat?
The reason I bring up menus is because there's a bit of praise going around for a particular restaurant over there in Canada for its blatantly obvious and straight down the line, straight shooting menu items.
Okay, can what type of cuisine is it pizza or
no? It is Asian cuisine, I believe.
Okay,
so the first item on the menu.
Yep,
orange beef. Now the owner's words on the menu read: comparing to our general Tao chicken, this one is not that good. Anyway, I'm not a big fan of North American Chinese food, and it's your call.
So that's the that's actually printed on the menu when you're trying to decide what you have.
It's one of the dish items. Would you like the next one?
Yeah.
Sure. This next one. Ingredients: pork, wood ear, bamboo shoots, green peppers, red peppers. Owner's words. This is the number one choice dish ordered by Chinese customers across the whole of China, according to an internet survey, and I totally believe that. When I was in China, I went to a restaurant. I always ordered this dish. It's so popular that there's so many different versions in China. Since I have such high expectations on this dish, I'm not a huge fan for our version, to be honest. But don't get me wrong, this plate at our restaurant is very tasty too. It's just different from those where I went to university.
So hang on, so let me get this straight. So it's pretty much a normal stock standard menu.
Yep.
It's got the item, a short description, and then the owner has critiqued each item of food.
Mm-hmm.
And he's being brutally honest. Like that first one, he said it's not that good. That's the second one, it's okay kind of thing. That was the vibes I got. Is there anywhere he said that it's brilliant and you must have this?
Here we go. Got one here. It's a brand new item on the menu.
Oh, what is it? What is the item?
This is new to our menu. I did not have the chance to try this one yet. According to a lot of customers, this is very popular. I still don't have a chance to taste it. Looks like I should spend more time eating at my own restaurant.
What was that? Like, what was the actual food?
Satay sauce beef.
Ooh, it does sound nice.
But yeah, what are your thoughts there? Do you think he's helping himself?
Well, I think, I mean, maybe this is me being overly critical, but I mean, you don't have the prices of the various foods on there, do you?
Yeah, they've got the price there right next to it.
Oh, do you have the price?
$14.99.
Okay, are the ones that he say are rubbish, are they the perhaps cheaper options? And then the ones that he says is nice, are they the more expensive options?
They're cheaper by about $2.
Because no one's going to read the description of the owner saying, oh, well, this is crap, and then you're going, yeah, no, I reckon I might give that a try, actually.
Now, the mouth-watering chicken is listed as being very well known, but we're not 100% satisfied with the flavour now, and it will get better really soon. I assume he keeps it updated.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, and... I don't know, Simo, would you go to a restaurant like that?
No, well, yes, for the novelty, but I wouldn't go back. I'd go once.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe you should go back because he said it's going to get better.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
We've been covering the tennis players in the hotel quarantine quite well.
Probably not from a news perspective.
Well, it's been happening.
I think we casually mentioned it 2 days ago.
Yeah, because Bernard Tomic's girlfriend, what did it turn out that she'd never washed her hair before? And
yeah, something that never washed her hair before, always went to the hairdresser to get it washed, and obviously because she is in 14 days.
Yeah.
Lockdown isolation, she can't go to the hairdressers.
Yeah, and then I realised, because it was reported in the news, I think, this morning, that do you know what she's famous for?
No,
so she's one of these online influencer types.
Okay.
Yep, from OnlyFans.
Okay.
So Bernard Tomic apparently has taken her on as his coach. He doesn't have a coach at the moment.
Okay.
His girlfriend is his coach.
Does the girlfriend have an extensive knowledge of tennis?
Nope.
Which is probably what you'd want from your coach.
No, so, and apparently, what did he say? It's a secret in regards to why he's won so many matches with her as coach.
Okay.
Enjoyable.
Look, when you were quoting Bernard Tomic, I'm quite glad that it was a secret. Because yeah. Have you heard him? It could literally be anything.
Yeah, he's a bit out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Australian Open players have been told not to feed the mice at a quarantine hotel in Melbourne.
Wait, not where'd the mice come from?
Stop feeding the mice. So apparently they got a bit of an infestation problem.
Wait, so hang on. So the players staying in hotels, and there's like a they've popped them in a hotel that has a mice infestation.
Mm-hmm. So Yulia Putintsevska, the world number 28,
yeah,
swapped rooms after finding a mouse, but said her new room is also infested.
Okay.
And Victoria State Police Minister Lisa Neville said, well, she's encouraged players to minimise interaction with the mice.
Well, I mean, I don't want to speak on behalf of all the players, but I don't think it's them who is instigating the interaction.
Yeah. Who out of the tennis players is maximising their interaction with the mice?
I know. Like, I've been reading a lot of the players have been like complaining about having to do it. Djokovic is one, and there's a couple of others.
Mm.
And you kind of read their list of demands and you're like, oh, come on, mate, let's just get over yourself. But then all of a sudden, hear that there's mice in their room, and it's like, okay, I can understand why you wouldn't want to be there.
And also, she goes on the Victorian State Police Minister Lisa to say, as I understand, there may have been some feeding going on.
Oh, okay, so the players were feeding the mice.
Well, I don't know. She doesn't go into details. She just suggests that maybe there was. I'd love to know who's feeding the. Is it Nadal? Who's in there feeding the mice?
I don't know. Well, maybe the mice are just fans of tennis and think, oh, normally at this hotel, there's just like normal people that stay here. Now there's all these tennis stars. Maybe the mice is just trying to get a selfie with Rafa Nadal.
Finally, an opportunity for us to get close to tennis players, they've thought.
Yes, finally.
Well, it's been their undoing because they have been, the police minister goes on to say, we will keep doing pest control if we need to, but hopefully the pest control work that was done this week will have fixed the problem.
Mm.
So Stuart and Ratatouille, they had a short but sweet moment with the tennis stars.
Yeah.
But it may all be over.
Yeah. Should we just have a moment's silence for...
Yep.
Stuart and we couldn't remember what the one's called out of Ratatouille, so we just said the movie.
Isn't that his name?
No. Oh,
okay, right. Yeah.
No. I think it's Remy.
Oh, okay, right.
I think
Remy,
I could be
right.
Wrong. Anyway, should we just have a moment's silence
and Stuart
for the mouse that was in Rafa Nadal's room?
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Good. Moving on. Just going to check that there's no mice in this room that we're in.
No,
because we're not professional tennis players.
Simo and Jordan.
Stop everything.
Okay.
Because the UK's most outrageous hangover competition has been run and won.
What does that mean?
How do you not know about the...
I don't know about their...
Most outrageous hangover competition.
Okay, how do you win?
You have the most outrageous hangover.
Yeah, what's the critique? Like, what are the checklist that you have to...
Well, the whole competition is, you know, when you have a night out and then you kind of wake up the day after and you kind of, like, in a weird kind of... But, you know, you've just kind of fallen asleep where you were the night before and you kind of wake up and you go, what am I doing here?
Doing
like bizarre situations.
Do that every day.
Yeah, no,
most mornings.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. But, you know, it's so people have taken photos and posted them of the most bizarre place they've kind of woken up after having a big night.
Okay.
And they have been voted for online.
Oh.
And now we have the winners of the top three weirdest places and weirdest things that you've kind of places you've woken up after
cool.
having a
hangover. I've got a weird one as well, which I'll add to it after.
Go. Well, do you want to do that first or do you want to do that?
We'll finish on it.
I'll tell you. We'll go through. I've got the top three here.
Alrighty.
So we'll go through and then we'll see if yours would beat that, okay?
Yep, go for it.
So the top three photos coming in third place was a woman called Natalie, who can be seen with her head buried inside an empty Budweiser beer box whilst carrying numerous plastic bags and an electric fan. That's how this person woke up after the night. You kind of think, what did go on there?
Yeah, she's had a few activities happen.
And so that came in third.
Yep.
In second place was a man named Arthur, clad in an elephant onesie, lying face down on the floor, surrounded by beer bottles, some empty, some not so.
Okay.
A mask concealing his face, not a COVID mask, like one of the ones you'd get for a play or something like that.
Yeah.
And Arthur has said he has no memory of the carnage.
Fair call.
So that is number two.
Carnage is the word.
Finally, Simo, the winner of the, what was it called again? Most outrageous hangover competition in the UK.
Yes.
The winning snap is one that has been affectionately titled Mother Teresa.
Okay.
It shows a woman bundled up in bedsheets, including bedsheets over her head, crouched at the toilet, armed with a toothbrush for some reason.
Very odd.
Yes.
I really liked the first one. The one that came third, I reckon, was the winner for me.
Well, I mean, obviously not, though. I mean, people would have liked to see the lady bundled up in bed sheets by a toilet holding a toothbrush for some reason.
Yeah, but when a toilet's involved in a hangover, it's not that, you know, different, right?
You know what I mean?
It's got some kind of consistency there.
I do see your point. Yeah. Kind of pretty much everyone, when they have a hangover, have spent some time in the bathroom.
You're not special?
Yeah. When you have a hangover, it's more odd to spend your time with an electric fan.
Like, she's all they've done there is some very well-done cat-like caption, because covered in bed sheets and huddled around a toilet and probably brushing your teeth from the smell of having thrown up.
Mm.
It seems pretty much she's multitasking. Basically, she's just streamlined the recovery.
Mm.
You know, try to sleep, spew, and brush all at the same time.
Well, Simo, I mean, I'm a bit surprised that you're not happy with the number one, the winner of this competition.
Could it
be anything to do with the fact that at the start of this you said that you had a unique hangover story?
Well,
are you trying to cut that down so you can go, no, hang on a second, mine is better?
No, mine would be a solid, mine would have come in fourth. Okay. So, schoolies weekend, there's a lovely little green patch down by Horseshoe Bay in South Australia.
Yeah.
Which is on the coast there. And it's out the front.
I assume that's where you went to schoolies.
Correct.
Yeah, we started off in Melbourne. Now I'm in some place in South Australia.
So there's a lovely little green patch out the front of this person's house.
It's just a random house.
Yeah, in front lawn.
Yeah.
And then I got welcomed in and sat down and had breakfast with them the next morning.
With just some random people.
Which apparently, I am told, is something that they offer every year to schoolies.
Okay.
So there's always at least one person that ends up comatose and out of it on the front lawn.
Yeah.
So they just welcome them in and cook them breakfast.
I don't want to cast aspersions on our youth. No, that wasn't even English. I don't want to suggest that the youth are doing anything.
Yeah.
But, Simo, I think it's pretty safe to say there's more than just one person that gets a bit hungover at schoolies.
Yeah, but on this particular green patch, right, there's only room for so many.
Mm-hmm.
This lawn ain't big enough for the two of us.
Simo, so they welcomed you in for breakfast.
Yep.
What was the full English? Beans, bacon?
The whole lot. I think it was mainly eggs, bacon was the general go, but it's nice that they have it prepped every year for schoolies.
Mm.
So best of luck to them, Janet and Bill.
You even remember their names?
Yeah.
I mean, you could just be making those names up. There's no way of checking.
No, he...
Yeah, Janet and Bill.
No, he liked to refer to him as Bill from Broken Hill, but they'd moved.
Right.
So, man.
Bill's Bacon and Egg Shack.
With wife
for
Janet.
18-year-old Simos.
That's right.
That had a little bit too much last night.
I think I should get the number one prize.
I reckon Bill and Janet should.
I agree.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Now to a different kind of pleasant addition to your household, the shower.
I don't know if... Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite good, right?
I mean, yeah, no, I'm questioning what you say it's a pleasant addition to your household.
It is, yeah.
I would argue a necessity.
Well, I grew up with someone that... What did they have? They didn't own a bath. Didn't own a bath? No, didn't own a shower. They had a bath, didn't they?
Okay.
Because they were very keen on saving water.
Okay.
Mm.
And then they got a shower and said, this is a nice necessity to the house.
Correct.
Right.
But how do you shower? Do you face the shower or are you a reverse?
I think I know where you're going with this. I've seen this over the last 24 hours on social media.
Yeah.
This has become a thing.
Mm.
Like people like, do they face where the water's coming from out of the shower or do they let the water hit their back?
Mm.
Now, I have always faced away from the shower so the water will hit my back.
Me too.
I just assumed that was
the right way.
What we all do. Otherwise, the water goes in your face.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Unpleasant addition to the house.
Yeah, that would be... if I was forced to face the shower, I would consider having baths.
This is because, like you say, it's gone doing the rounds on social media, courtesy of Alice on Twitter, asking if it's normal...
Oh, not Alice again.
Yeah, damn Alice. Asking if it's normal to shower with your back to the shower, right? Not facing the water.
Mm.
Apparently, there's a certain percentage of people that are doing the opposite. Facing the water, just letting it take them.
Okay, well, we are two back facers,
would you call them? Yeah.
If you are a front facer, get on the phone, give us a call, 645-72-977.
Yeah.
And just let us know why.
And graduating from that thought, when was the last time you had a bath?
Oh.
Yeah. Was you 12?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the done thing. It's just does takes too long.
Let's not get into which way do you lie down in the bath. Not... like back facing or front. If you're front facing, you're drowning.
Yeah, no, or you're doing some kind of like, look at that, it looks like a mermaid.
Yes. Or you're trying to go, like... I'm like snorkeling in the bottom of the bath.
Going on an adventure.
Yeah.
If you are going to get involved in water-soaked atmospheres, definitely use your back to the water-logged machine.
And if you were going to get involved with water-soaked atmospheres, maybe just stick to calling them showers. Let's not get into that. What do you call it? A shower or a water-soaked atmosphere?
It's sorry. Still true.
You just say to your housemate, I'm just off for a water-soaked atmosphere. It looks like you're going, what?
Hey, it's no less true.
I mean, but... yes, but at the same time, no.
We should do that for a week.
What?
Whenever you say, oh, yeah, I just had a water-soaked atmosphere.
instead of saying shower.
Everyone's thinking, it didn't rain today.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.